Welcome on into the 8 p.m. hour, halfway home with you on a hump day. Chris Thomas Turtle with you till 10 o'clock each and every weeknight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Got a busy 8 o'clock hour coming up. Don't want to miss either Brent Key or Haynes King, who both stopped by with Dukes and Bell today. Going to let you hear from both of those gentlemen. But right now, we got to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in one of the best in the biz covering the NBA, Matt Moore for the Action Network. Matt, appreciate you hopping back on the show. Want to start out west with both the teams making some headlines. Do you believe that Marcus Smart and DeAndre Ayton are significant additions to the Lakers to help them get back in a true playoff chase?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are significant additions. You know, this was the third seed last season, so I think that they're already far enough along to give them a good opportunity to be able to make the postseason again. I think the question is just going to be, you know, with Ayton, his focus, work ethic, those type of things have been an issue before. Can he move past all that? Can he be the type of focused force that they need him to be? Will he and Luka Doncic have chemistry? Because that's been a kind of a challenge point with Luka from time to time, is he has to have the right guys around him. Sometimes he gets a little particular about the guys that he wants around him. With Smart, you know, I do have some concerns about he looked like he was approaching the end of his career. And usually when Boston lets go of a guy, it doesn't wind up working well for whoever gets that guy next. So have some concerns, I think, about Smart. But if he's able to be anything close to the player that he was when he was on the court, those are serious additions. They need a defense, and they need a big man to pair with Doncic. They got both of those. Maybe not the type of profile or good enough players in their primes as you would hope for, but probably good enough to get the Lakers within range of title contention this season.
When it comes to Luka, you're already hearing the reports, Matt. The proverbial best shape of his life. Look at these pictures. He's so thin. Are you buying that the move to L.A. and the emotion of everything that happened within the last calendar year is enough for the light bulb to turn on for him?
You know, I wonder from his motivational standpoint, because he really was embarrassed by this. Like, that to me does seem like it's a meaningful kind of change. On the other end of it, though, look, he was in great shape coming out of the Olympics. He was in great shape coming out of FIBA World Cup the last two seasons. And when that's happened, he has still kind of been left at the start of the season a little bit out of shape and then got worse. He's one of the few players that, and a lot of people, scouts have questioned this, how is it a guy plays himself out of shape? But it's been a problem for him consistently. So I think we got to get through a full season before we can really say that Luka is past that point in his career.
When it comes to the other team out west in L.A., the Clippers, it seems like, I was joking around with somebody else yesterday that, you know, if you told me this was their roster 10 years ago, I would have said that's a conference finals team. But there's a lot of veterans on that team, Matt, but I don't know if they're all playing together at a point in which their career that it'll make, you know, for a deep playoff run.
Yeah, that's kind of the question here, right? Is, hey, this is a really talented team in 2017, but it's not 2017. I think those questions are right to ask. You know, Bradley Beal, probably a little scapegoated in Phoenix. I just think it's unlikely that he was the sole problem there, like he was kind of made out to be. And meanwhile, I think when you look at Chris Paul, he's still so effective and was really good for San Antonio last season. I think you have to be optimistic about what they're able to add. Maybe the way to look at it is it provides redundancy, right? Where even if these guys need to miss games, even if these guys miss days, have to be out with injury, they've got enough of them to be able to cover up. But ultimately, this Clippers team, as good as the roster is, it's going to come down to Kawhi Leonard. You know, is he going to be there the whole season? Is he going to be the leader that they need? James Harden winds up taking a lot of focus, stress, grief for their performances in the playoffs. But it's going to have to be Kawhi Leonard. He's going to have to be the guy for them. Otherwise, these other additions, no matter how old they are, aren't going to make a difference.
What do you think the vision is being sold to Bradley Beal, or excuse me, not Bradley Beal, Devin Booker being the lone wolf left in Phoenix?
You know, I think it's kind of a transition of, hey, you know, we had this period of contention, and now we're going to build around you, and we want to find young talent to grow with you as the leader, versus trying to find guys to help lead him, like, you know, Chris Paul and Kevin Durant. Now they can kind of look at this and say, hey, we're going to find an opportunity for you to be the one that's in charge, for you to be the leader here. And that should be promising. They've got guys, you know, like Kamen Malawash, they drafted. They've added some depth pieces. They do have some components around there. I actually think there's probably some upside. I think they're probably a little underrated in the Western Conference. Booker's got a chance for a bounce back season, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of a surprise team out West this year.
What did you make of Damian Lillard's decision to go back to Portland? Do you think it was just purely emotional and sentimental? It doesn't seem like they're going to be, I mean, who knows, but it just seems like they're a ways away from contending.
I think they're probably closer. I think what'll be interesting is this is going to be a year, I think, where they probably make a big step forward without him. And then that's going to lead into having Dame, and whatever he can give them is going to be the question coming off that Achilles. I think for him, like, look, I think, yes, it was a franchise that he's been with for a long time, was most comfortable there. It was a franchise that was willing to give him the money because of that connection, in part, having him around to be that kind of leader for this group. But also, you know, there's real family stuff there where it was really hard on him being away from his kids, and his kids are still in Portland, and he's going to have an opportunity to be closer to them and to manage those kind of situations, which are a big distraction for him. So I think this is going to be kind of a healing year, both physically, mentally, emotionally for Dame. I don't know what he's going to look like on the other side of this. I really don't. And the question will be, can the Blazers make a big enough step forward? They were tough last year in the second half of the season, especially defensively. If they could just find a way to get some offensive production, especially as Scoot Henderson, this team actually, I think, is in a position to be one of the teams that's rising up when they get Dame back next season.
The team he left, the Milwaukee Bucks, I'm going to ask it pretty straightforward. What are they?
Giannis and friends, I think that's the way to put it forward, where, you know, the other old team might have been like, oh, it's Giannis and friends. No, like Chris Middleton, very good, all-star level NBA player. Brooke Lopez, defensive player of the year caliber player. They had those kind of guys around them. And now, you know, it's guys like Kevin Porter. It's guys, Miles Turner, I think, is a good addition to pair with him in terms of athleticism and skill set. Spacing should be good. One of the things, though, I will say, Giannis, when you surround him with shooters, that formula still works. And he was never really comfortable playing with lead ball handler Damian Lillard, and Lillard was never really comfortable playing with Giannis. So I think getting back to it might be it might be predictable. It might have a more of a cap ceiling, but getting back to Giannis and his skill level and how good he still is, especially with his jumper having made big strides last season, surrounding that with shooting, that's always going to be a formula, I think, for success. The Bucks, because of how weak the Eastern Conference is, they're going to be in the mix, and they just need a few things to go their way, and they can be right back in there as a contender for the Eastern Conference title crown.
Here in Atlanta, it looks like Kobe Bufkin played his way to being the backup point guard. He had a couple of really big performances in Summer League. Do you think that's something the Hawks should be comfortable with, or should they look to upgrade?
I think it's going to give him a kind of opportunity. They've got so much versatility, I think, with their guards now, with what they're able to kind of put out there. They can put out so many different types of lineups. I think it's okay to go in with Bufkin and then address that situation as it kind of goes along. You want to give these guys an opportunity to develop, because otherwise they just wind up stagnating, and then the value that you had in having them as an asset kind of is mitigated, so you can't even really trade them. You need to find out how good he is in order to be able to figure out where he fits in. But I think they've got so many guys on this team that can play and provide good minutes and good lineup rotations. They should be okay with Bufkin playing backup point guard.
Speaking of rotations, how do you think the team should handle Porzingis?
Yeah, this is a tough one. Again, we kind of go back to that thing I said about Boston. When Boston gives up on a guy, I get real nervous. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Celtics traded Jrue Holiday, and all of a sudden his physical comes back differently, and they have to change the parameters of that trade to Portland. I thought that was very interesting. Isaiah Thomas, like, there's a history of this. So I'm nervous about Porzingis for the Hawks. That said, look, I think Onyeka Okongwu is playing great basketball at the end of the last season. I think Jalen Johnson is going to be an absolute star. So I think it's actually okay if they're very careful with Porzingis, if he doesn't play, you know, 50 plus games, because they can get by, I think, with the talent that they have and who they're developing. I think there's an opportunity there for them to be able to work on those guys and then to have Porzingis be an additive once they get to the postseason. But I think being as cautious as possible is probably going to have to be the only way to play this, given his history.
Speaking of growth and development, what do you expect from Reese Hoshea in year two?
Yeah, you know, I thought he had a solid rookie campaign. I think the big thing for him is probably going to be working to, this is something I think I see a lot of players enter the league now not having, and that's a go-to move. Like you look at a lot of these guys, and they've got so many skills, so much skill set, and they can shoot, and they can dribble, and they can drive. You want to see him develop a move that they can go to create offense when they're guarded one-on-one. And I think for him, that's kind of missing. They need to be able to figure out what's his comfort zone level. What's the spot on the floor? What are his spots for him to get to? Because I think that they were still kind of having him fill in the pieces. And for a guy with as much talent and skill as he's got, I think working on that in year two should be part of the development alongside, I think, focusing on Jalen Johnson and how good he can be, because I think he's going to be absolutely amazing.
Talking all things NBA offseason with our buddy Matt Moore. Make sure you follow him at the Action Network for all of his great NBA insight. All right, you mentioned the weakened Eastern Conference. A team that's given the Hawks fits for a couple of years now is Paolo Banchero and company, and the Magic have continued to grow. Where do you slot them in after the addition of Bane?
It's an upgrade for sure. I have them as a team that's improved the most, but they were also starting at a lower point really than their record showed last season. So I have them about 50 wins. I think they're going to be on track to be in that conversation. I think in the East, you've got Cleveland, you've got New York, and then after that, I actually have Detroit and Orlando kind of on the same tier there as being within range of being able to compete for that. Bucks might get there. Hawks might get there. Orlando, I think, has to be slotted in at third in the Eastern Conference with the capacity to do better. But look, we have to see that offense actually execute. You're going to have the talent, but there are things that go into an offense that aren't just about the X's and O's. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was a great shooter until he showed up in Orlando. There's a lot of guys that have been good shooters that have not been good shooters in Orlando. They have to fix the health of the offense, not just from a talent perspective, but from a scheme and execution standpoint. That's going to be the challenge. I think the pressure this season, as Paolo Banchero is ready to go ahead and get his playoff career really started and start making runs.
What about Detroit? Sort of the same deal?
I'm much higher on Detroit than most people are. They kind of look at it and go, oh, what a disappointing offseason. You know, they lose Malik Beasley to gambling investigation. They miss on Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Dennis Schroeder departs. I love what they did. Their problem in the playoffs versus the Knicks was that they had nobody else to really create outside of Cade Cunningham, which is why Dennis Schroeder had to play such a big role. They didn't have Jaden Ivey. He's back. They add Caris LeVert, who, yes, he's a scorer. Yes, he's got good athleticism. Caris was one of the best assist players off the bench in the league the last two seasons. He's a really good playmaker. Duncan Robinson, much more of a complete player than he was in his early career in Miami. He's actually able to give them contributions in multiple facets of the game. So I think Detroit is going to be, with their internal development and how good they already are, I really do think that Detroit's a serious contender for the East title.
A couple of off-the-court questions for you before we wrap up with Matt Moore of the Action Network. Are you excited for the return of Ball on NBC?
Loving it. Love it. You know, and a lot of this is I'm just ready for kind of new tones, a new voice in the field, in the sport, for there to be kind of NBC's, the way that they approach covering games, I think is really good. They take the sports very seriously, which I think the league could really use as taking it with very, like a modicum of seriousness about covering the league. You can still have fun, but I'm hopeful that their presentation is going to be very focused on the game itself and celebrating the game. And I'm really excited to see what both they and Amazon bring to the table this fall.
And before I let you go, the ESPN finals booth continues to be shuffled around. Do you think that, honestly, I guess the blunt question of it is, aside from Mike Breen being the voice there, do you think the analyst role matters in 2025 for the finals?
I do. I think because that's what you remember when you look back, is you remember the voice of the people that were on those broadcast calls. And I think, you know, Steve Jones with NBC, having, I think, the right combination is really important. And I think they've had really good people on these broadcast booths. I like Doris Burke. I like Richard Jefferson a lot with their coverage. They just haven't found the right combo. And sometimes it takes a little while for you to find the right set for what you're trying to accomplish. I think ESPN will probably get there, but I do think it still matters for we remember those broadcasts very clearly when we look back at the great finals, especially for young people coming up.
All right, Matt, appreciate the time. As always, we'll check back in soon.
Thanks, man. Take care.
All right. That is Matt Moore of the Action Network there. Yeah, I'm excited for a little round ball rock coming back to NBC this, what is it? I guess fall, right? I guess technically considered when B-ball starts up again. All right. 404-726-0929. Coming up next, how good is Georgia Tech going to be next year on offense? Haynes King, the Georgia Tech quarterback, stopped by Dukes and Bell. I'll let you hear that, as well as we'll slip in a little producer six-pack with Big O, a jam-packed 8 o'clock hour to come your way next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock. Tech fans, you hyped? I think Georgia Tech has a chance to be really good this year, and I'm not just saying that. Hope springs eternal. Yeah, I know. I get it. But I'm not just saying that. One, they have a – Oren, have you seen their schedule? Not exactly murderer's row. They should be able to win.
It's the ACC, so.
Yeah, and their non-con games are, you know, not exactly murderer's row here, you know. The proverbial 27 Yankees, as everybody likes to say. I think they have a chance to be a good football team this year. I really do. And Haynes King is going to be a big part of that. He stopped by Dukes and Bell today. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10. First thing the guys asked him about was, your coach says just be yourself. What does that mean to you?
I mean, being me has got me to this point already. Why do I need to try to be something that I'm not, or – you know, push and press to try to do something different. You know, the reasons for success hadn't changed yet. So as long as I'm just still being myself, having fun, letting it rip, I'll be just fine.
Haynes King, man, you know, it's funny because we think of you, if you look at the numbers, you are a dual. Do you think of yourself as a dual threat quarterback?
Yes, sir.
Because you are. I saw it in person in Dublin last year on the wrong side of the Georgia Tech sideline, if you must know. But how much do you pick your spots, though? Because you know you also got to stay healthy this year.
A little bit, but, I mean, that's what the strength and conditioning coach is for, you know, put more muscle mass on to do that and to prepare your body for stuff like that. But also, you know, we've been talking, and sometimes I do need a – know when to slide, when not to, take care of my body, certain hits on certain shoulders, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to do what's needed to win.
So you guys return about, just percentage-wise, 87% of your passing yards, 84% of your rushing yards. Point is, you have a lot of guys that can get it done. What are the expectations for this offense this upcoming season? And we know you guys went through spring ball. Everybody felt really good. But what do you feel like you guys are going to be able to do this upcoming season offensively? I'm talking about Haynes, obviously, with you under center.
I think we're going to be even more explosive than last year. Mm. Just with who we added and what we have returning. The guys coming back and the camaraderie that we have and the confidence level that Buster has and us executing it. So, like I said, I feel like we're going to be even more explosive than we already are.
We just talked with your coach, Brent Key, as Haynes King, guys, Tech quarterback, joins us here. You know, he also wants to run the football, and with Jamal Haynes coming back and you added another guy in the portal, you've got the run game as balanced as ever for your Georgia Tech offense?
I think everything's balanced as ever. With not even just the running backs and receivers, like the tight ends that we added, they're going to help us out in the run game and the pass game with who they are. And a lot of them is going to be veteran guys that's been here or even been in college football. So, you know, with adding that, they're going to know where to be at the right place and at the right time.
Haynes, you and Aaron Filo, what's the relationship like, you know, with you guys helping each other out? What's that relationship like?
I mean, me and Filo, we're real close. You know, that's just the kind of people, one, of who we are, and two, it's the kind of room that Coach Winkie has built. He takes pride in building a real good room, and he loves competition. Competition is just pretty much iron sharpens iron, you know. Mm-hmm. It's going to push both of us. And Follows pushed me this offseason a lot, and it's improved my game a lot. And then, like I said, throughout competition, healthy competition, we've even came even closer.
Schedule is rough, going out to Colorado, Clemson, the third week of the season. One thing about, you know, a guy that you get mentioned in the conversation, if you can stay healthy, you know, maybe you're there in New York for the Heisman. Do you think about the next level and trying to get to the NFL?
Oh, of course. I want to play in the NFL. I want to play as long as I can. But you got to win. Winning takes care of that. ever take care of the Heisman or take care of the NFL. You know, if you look back and date it back, all the history, like teams who win the national championship, there's you know, double-digit numbers on guys that get drafted that year, which, I mean, it shows because they had a hell of a year and they played at a very high, successful, in a successful way throughout the whole season.
Haynes King joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Coach was telling a story about, I guess it was UCF in the bowl game, and you were telling Buster Faulkner to run the ball, and you guys, you know, run it a bunch of times. What's the relationship like with your coordinator, and how has he helped you grow as a quarterback?
I mean, me and Buster are very close. He's a great person, and I love the fact that, you know, we just extended his contract. That was a big win for our program, you know. But, you know, with what he's done as a play caller is outstanding. He's put people in positions to succeed. He never wants to, you know, put them in bad situations that those guys aren't good at. That's not their strength, stuff like that. But also, in the off season, he does a really good job by compartmentalizing. And he knows what you do good. So we're going to try to develop and do what you do bad, you know, to fix that and to improve your game and just take it to the next level. And I think that's what he does good. And he's also open and honest in what you've improved on, what you haven't, what you need to work on and stuff like that with exit meetings. And that's a big step for me as well.
Hey, before we cut you loose, Haynes, before you know, you made the transfer from Texas A&M to Georgia Tech, now going into your third year on the flats. Is this what you expected your experience at Tech to be?
Oh, for sure. And I mean, some differences. You can't, you know, expect everything. But it's definitely been fun. And like I said, coming out of the portal, I just wanted an opportunity to play and wanted to surround myself with like-minded people that want to do things the right way. And that's what I think I did. I found a home here at Georgia Tech, and I always called it home.
The goal for Haynes King this season?
The goal for Haynes King is, as a team, I want to win a national championship and the ACC championship.
Fair enough. Yeah, go ahead.
Like I said, with winning, it'll take care of all the other personal accolades. Right. I'm not really worried about that.
Well, we wish you nothing but the best. I mean, you were a beast last year. I think you're going to be, as you said, even better and more explosive this year. As Mike mentioned, Colorado opening game. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Haynes King, thanks for joining us here on Dukes and Bell, back in the A, and good luck this season.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That is Haynes King there, quarterback of your Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. And I think he's going to have a good year, and I think the team's going to be really good. I'm not saying 10 wins, but I'm saying pretty good. I know that's kind of sitting on the fence there, but you got, I mean, how could you not? I mean, they've been building, they've been growing every year under Coach Key. I mean, they got some dang good teams in the ACC to compete against. We'll see. 404-726-0929. I have to now compete against Oren in a producer six-pack.
All right, so these have somewhat of a decidedly NFL flair to them tonight, but they still are six questions, so
hey,
I will go as
Oren,
this.
I don't give you parameters.
Well, I appreciate that.
I say you get six questions and six chances to produce greatness. There's one caveat for those who don't know. I've been doing Producer Six Pack now for many years on this radio station. There's one rule. It just needs to be four sports questions and two anything goes questions. As long as you satisfy those parameters, we're good.
Question number one. You mentioned earlier the Braves. 9-3 loss today, series loss to the Giants, 13 games under 500, way back in the wild card, way back in the division.
You know what I say to that?
Sounds about right, yeah. Today on the mound, Spencer Strider, not his best outing. Did go five, but gave up a couple home runs.
Sit him.
Bullpen came in, and the rest is, as they say, history. But Raisel Iglesias had a clean ninth. How about that? Two strikeouts.
Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
In a low-stakes situation, Raisel Iglesias went out there and performed admirably.
Maybe they'll trade him.
But after the game, Spencer Strider had a very interesting comment, quote, The performance this year for the Braves has been embarrassing. Embarrassing. And he said that players will talk for a couple months about how guys in this locker room might not be here at the end of the season because they'll be traded if things don't go well. That kind of brutal honesty from Spencer Strider, is it appreciated or unappreciated?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's nice to hear that they acknowledge what's going on. Unlike Snit, who at times is, you know, yeah, well, you know, well, we'll figure it out. These guys got a run left in them. So, yeah, it's nice to hear Strider. And Strider's a bulldog, man. We know that. Strider's normal body temperature, I think, is like 105. Like, he's just revving hot all the time. So, yeah, I love it from him. And let's be honest, Thorne, he knows he's going to be here next year.
Well, he does.
So he can say that with
no— have to worry about calling a moving company.
Yeah, he's
not— finding a rental house in a new location.
Yeah, exactly. He's not exactly sweating his future here in Atlanta. But you know what? If we go another, like, week or two of this, I'm sitting Strider. I'm sitting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Why? Why a guy that is injury prone, a guy that is now throwing useless innings for a team going nowhere, I want him as healthy as can be for next year. Sit him. See ya. I don't need— what do I need you for? Davis Daniels, go throw five innings of slop. What does it matter? You're 15 games out. I mean, you want to preserve them or what? What are you throwing them for?
What's the rationale?
Yeah, good luck. I mean, for—
you won't see Chris Sale probably. Well, I think you'll see Chris Sale maybe at the end of the year, but I don't know if you'll see Spencer Schwellenbach again this year. So
why am I seeing Chris Sale at the end of the year?
I think Chris is one of those dudes, though.
Pride?
It's the same
pride
thing. I think it's in the same vein of Spencer Strider, where you're going to have to basically tranquilize those guys for them to not play at the end of the season.
Well,
and I get the rationale of also sitting them because you don't want them to get hurt. But those are two dudes, like I said, like you said, Spencer just runs hot. Is that a guy who you think will take very well being told that we're sitting you down for the rest of the season because we suck?
I don't care.
Fair enough.
I don't care. You're going to have a new manager next year. There's going to be a new mission statement. I think you'll have the same GM. I mean, Alex is still damn good at what he does. He's having— had an off year, but I think he's more than earned the right to come back next year. We'll see.
Question number two. Who gets their new deal first? Trey Hendrickson, Micah Parsons, or Trey Young?
Ooh. Something tells me Micah. Something tells me they're going to just— – Jerry is just being Jerry. And I think eventually he's going to pony up. But he's not going to pony up before he did his little media circus. And now that that's out of the way, I think they'll get it done. Mike Brown's a stubborn mule, we'll call it.
the derogatory word for him, yes.
Yes. So he has mulean qualities when it comes to doing these things. And that is a notorious— – like, the Cowboys— – here's the difference. The Cowboys aren't notoriously cheap. They're notoriously dumb over the last few years. Bengals are cheap. So,
there's a difference.
Yeah. And Trey, Oren, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I have no idea. I don't know.
So
it seems like what they've said is for this year, for right now, that's what we're focused on, tunnel vision, and we'll figure out the rest later. That's what it seems like it is. We'll see.
Question number three. Caleb Williams has set a couple of personal goals this season, sir, to be a 70% completion percentage passer to go along with 4,000 yards, which would be the first time a Bears quarterback has ever hit that mark in a season.
And to have his own makeup line out by the holiday season.
Well, there you go, too. does he hit 70%, just 70%? Does he hit just 4,000 yards, or does he hit both of those marks at the end of the season?
I think he'll hit 4,000 yards. I don't know if he's going to hit 70% is really good.
Yeah, it's only that's a handful
like,
of guys.
That yeah, that's like all pro level good. So I don't think he's going to do that, but 4,000 yards I think will be easy for him. I like their offense this year.
All righty, sir. Question number five. You can be a superhero for one day, a full 24-hour 12 a.m. to 12 a.m. day. Who are you?
Professor X. I want to learn as much about the human world as possible.
Just going to soak it in and hope you remember just after that day.
Just going to digest everything. Because unlike, like, with, if I said Superman, I could see the world in a day. But with Professor X, you can understand the world in a day. And that's the route I'd want to go. I'd do some, I'd dark retreat Aaron Rodgers style and try to do some meaning of life stuff and get real deep with it.
I've been in the darkness. Yeah. I've been in the darkness.
Yeah. What about you?
That's a tough one for me. To be honest, I kind of get the appeal of being Iron Man.
Iron Man would be sweet, too.
Just those suits are cool.
Yeah, and you could do the see the whole world in a day.
Yeah, thing. See the whole world in a day.
Yeah. All right, we got I think we're out of time here.
Yeah,
we'll save the next question for next time we do a producer six-pack. When we get back, Brent Key, what did he have to say to Dukes and Bell? Coach, the old ball coach, stop by Dukes and Bell. We'll let you hear from him and a whole lot more as we are taking you to 10 o'clock. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle! Till 10 o'clock. Oren, coming up at the top of the hour. I did something today for the first time ever, and I can't believe now after having done it that I hadn't done it sooner. I'll explain exactly what that is coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, let's hear from the head coach of your Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets at the ACC Media Days, Brent Key. He joined Dukes and Bell. And the guys were talking to him about expectations, growth, and what this team needs to do in 2025.
We're taking a lot of steps. You know, I think it's more of a jump we need to take, right?
Right.
You know, it's one of the things that, you know, you can't predict what's going to happen, you know, results of games, all that kind of stuff. I do feel like this is the best squad we've had, the most depth we've had. You know, love the way the teams come together over the summer. The new faces that have added in and really bought into what we do and how we do it. So I'm excited.
Coach Key, I heard you talking about the senior class. Experience matters, right? I've always been big on this. I mean, it's something you guys, I'm talking about just the coaching industry, especially in college football, you know, because guys are jumping around. But experience matters. You got a bunch of seniors coming back. Talk about this senior class and the leadership it's provided for your program.
Yeah, you know, for the first time, you know, the senior class will be the leadership committee, will be the leadership group. And, you know, it's very rare you have, you know, 27 seniors, especially now this day and age. And not all of them are starters. They're not. And, you know, but it allows those guys to have a voice in leadership and be able to back the guys that are the vocal ones in front of everybody. And, you know, you say experience matters. I mean, my goodness, you know, some of the when you go through the retention phase, you know, of the year, some of the most valuable guys we were able to retain are the guys, you know, that third, you know, that O lineman that's third year in the program, or the linebacker that's in his third or fourth year in the program, and, you know, the DB, they might not be a starter, but they know how you do things. They know, you know, how you go about your business. I mean, they worked and trained, and those are the most valuable pieces that people don't even know their names. They're the guys that give you that stability, though.
We know you've been hitting the recruiting trail as Brent Key joins us, guys, from up in Charlotte at ACC Media Days. Got 19th for last year for the 25 class, and obviously you got some big names cooking, plus the transfer portal. How important is that, and how important are the transfers that you brought in going to be this year?
Yeah, you know, the transfers are important because no different than free agency in the NFL. And I've said it a couple times now, we've got to get out of this notion of saying, oh, you lost somebody in the portal. I mean, people don't say, well, you lost this guy in free agency. And they chose to take a different deal. And then you have to decide what's the best fit for your team. And, you know, that's the fun part of it, guys. I mean, I'm having a blast with that part. It's true essence. You know, I read the book Moneyball back in, you know, what, 2005, I think. I, you know, put it away. I think I've read it twice in the last year since. Just because it excites me. And, you know, we brought 25 transfers in and, you know, to supplement, fill holes. You know, it's not always the marquee guy that you might hear. I mean, it's guys that are pivotal roles on the team that you have to get better. You know, so many people focus on the top 10 players on the team now with you know, with rev share and NIL and all these different things. They're trying to get the top player at this position and this position, which we're trying to do that too, but we're also trying to elevate the bottom third of our roster every year. All right, we're trying to improve that bottom third because that's just going to elevate the basement of your program, and that's how we focused. And we wanted guys we brought in the program that had experience on the field playing. I didn't want to bring guys in that had set the bench for 2 years somewhere and were unhappy. So I mean, we brought in guys that had experience and really good playing experience.
Coach Brent Key joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is ACC Media Days. Brent Key spoke to the media today. He's joining us from up there in Charlotte. Coach, you talked about back-to-back winning seasons. You talked about the bowl games and, you know, first time in over a decade. You went 5-0 at home last year. You do have a lot to build on, but I believe it starts with Haynes King. Tell us what you are preaching to your quarterback this upcoming season.
Be yourself. Be who you are. Have confidence. You don't have to be the leader all the time, every time now, because we have a lot of guys that lead around them. I think there was a big part of, especially in year one, and it bled over into year two a little bit until he got hurt, where if things weren't necessarily going great, everybody just looked at Haynes and expected Haynes to lift the team. But now that's not the case. And I think we learned that as the season went on. We have other players that can make plays, and it's everyone else's responsibility to do their part. You can't just look at one person and put all that pressure on him. And that's it, because then when it doesn't happen, you don't get the result you wanted, it's even worse. So, I think him seeing there's other people around him that are going to rise up and say, hey, I want to put it on me. Put it on me. And that helps really relax him and lets him be comfortable and play his game.
Coach Brent Key with us, guys. Of course, played under George O'Leary, coached with Nick Saban, knows about physicality in the trenches. I know you brought in some in the portal on the defense to get after the quarterback. Is this going to be a nasty offensive line?
Does a bear poop in the woods?
I know I loaded that one up for you, but you want to run the football as well, don't you?
That one, dog.
Right.
I could have said a lot of other things. That was very PG rated.
Yes,
for you.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Coach, you said today when I guess asked about Georgia, it made me laugh because this is prototypical Brent Key. You said I'm paraphrasing, but you said I don't give a damn. I could care less where the game is because you were asked about it being at Mercedes-Benz. It doesn't. You said it doesn't matter where we play these guys, right?
I mean, it's what, 3:30 right now?
Yeah.
3:30 right now. We'll be back by 4:30. We'll play. We'll line up and play anybody that can in Piedmont Park.
We'll go down to Piedmont.
Yeah, I mean, 8 overtimes last year was something, and much was made about you talking with Kirby, as only 2 coaches have been through the wars, that stuff. But, I mean, this is one where, you played on Georgia Tech teams that were able to make it a true rivalry. And I think that's what everybody thought you're on the cusp of, or thinks you're on the cusp of right now with Tech versus Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, it is a rivalry game, but it's been a one-sided rivalry game for a lot of years. Mm. And that was up to us. That was up to me as the head coach and our players to have people understand the importance of that game, that, it's one of the greatest rivalries in the country. And, I don't think there's a rivalry game that was played last year that, regardless of the outcome of the football game, which, hearing about it today is maybe just adamant, just sick and ill at my stomach right now. Mm. So good luck to people I got to see tomorrow. But it's one of those things that at the end of the game, you didn't see the fighting. You didn't see the flag planting. You saw respect.
Right.
And look, I've got mad respect for Kirby and everybody on that staff. I know our coaches do. I know that's reciprocated. And then our players have respect for each other both ways. They grew up playing together in the epicenter of the heart of in the state of Georgia, and the heart of college football. So – there's respect and all that and whatnot, but at the end of the day, it didn't change what we're trying to do and what we want to do and what we work to do every single day.
Coach, you lost Jay Batt. He hired you, and we wish him nothing but the best. Is that going to have
any? Lose him? I know where he's at.
Well, yes, this is true. We can call him, but he is not at Georgia Tech anymore. But is this going to affect you in any way or the program? Because it felt like Jay and you were on the same page. I don't know what it looks like now, but can you talk a little bit about that situation?
Yeah, Jay did a great job. We had a great relationship. Still have a great relationship. he did what was best for the opportunity, took the opportunity that was best for him and his family. I'm never going to look down at another man for doing that. I mean, we do it as adults, but yet, you know, we want to get mad at a player for making that decision in the portal. Like, come on, we got to understand and be transparent here, whether it's adults, whether it's you know, our athletes that we're coaching. Right, everybody's got to do what's best for them and their family, okay? And there's no hard feelings when that happens, right? But then you got to look to move. You have to move on. You can't, you know, look behind you. And then you're looking to either be equal and continue it going or be better. What you don't want to do is take a step back. And I think, you know, Dr. Cabrera and his decision to hire Ryan and the search committee and the board that were behind it, I'm so excited about the future. In the limited time I've been able to spend with him here in the first 2 weeks, so excited about the future of our entire athletics program.
Wrapping up with Coach Brent Key of Georgia Tech, and again, having a great staff and guys that get the job done. Buster Faulkner gets his contract extension and a raise, and he deserves it.
Yeah, he does. You know, we're in a go earn it world. And, you know, it's a great representation, too, for our players. You know, I want players to earn what they get. I want coaches to earn what they get. I want to be held accountable to earn, all right, well, what I'm able to receive. And that's the world we live in. And that's what's going to make our players and, you know, their future, and when they're done playing football, you know, really be successful. Buster's earned it. I'm so happy for him, for Tia and his family. He loves the program. He loves the players. The players love him. He's great for the staff. He's a great friend of mine. And I only want what's best for him and his future. And he's made that decision, and we were able to reward him for it. And it just goes to show the alignment that starts at the top of Dr. Cabrera, the support we have from Dr. Cabrera to be able to do these things and support our program and improve our program. Because, you know, we're not going anywhere, guys. And this is just another, you know, big thing out there that shows that we weren't a flash in the pan or, you know, blip on the radar. I mean, we're here to stay.
Coach, I'm high on you guys. I'm telling you right now. I've been saying it publicly because I talk to people over there, enough of your coaches. Everybody's talking about the vibe, man, and everybody feels good about where this thing is. Opening night, guys. At Colorado, 8 o'clock, Friday, August 29th. Georgia Tech opens the season. Coach Key, man, good luck. We know you're going to do damage this year. Glad to have you back on the show. And as always, man, we wish you nothing but the best.
Man, I can't thank y'all enough for y'all's support and friendship and what y'all do and just keeping the talk of sports in Atlanta going, because it's the greatest city in the country for sports at all levels.
It is.
I appreciate you guys.
Best of luck, brother. That's our man.
Go get him, baby. Go get him.
That is Coach Key there. Good stuff. His personality certainly starting to come out a little bit more, which we'd love to see as he continues to have sustained success there on the flats. And yeah, I agree with what Carl said at the end. I think they're going to be good this year. Again, I don't know about double-digit wins, but maybe close to that. We shall see. All right, coming up in a busy final hour of the program, I did something this afternoon for the first time, and I can't believe I waited 33 years on this earth to do it after having done it. I'll explain when we get back. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app, Chris Thomas tonight.